May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Mark 3, this fascinating gospel lesson. Let us pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us into all truth this day. Bless the preaching, the hearing of your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things that we can do to Jesus. He is the all-powerful Son of God, but in His love, He allows us to do certain things to Him and with Him. Much of that we're doing right now. We can praise Him. He has the praise of angels and archangels. Yet He allows us humble people to praise Him. He accepts that. He's glad about that, smiles at that. We can confess our sins to Him. We can pray to Him. We're soon going to eat with Him and of Him. What grace! But then on the bad side, He allows us to curse Him. He allows us to disobey. We're not puppets that have to obey. He allows us to reject Him. But I suggest today from the gospel lesson, there's one thing that we can never, ever do to Jesus. One thing He will never allow. We can never control Him. We can never be master over Him. He'll never allow that. We can never stop Him or restrain Him in any way. His family and the scribes in the gospel lesson learn that important lesson. His family, this is his mom, maybe his stepdad, some siblings, we're not sure who it is. His family thinks he's out of his mind. More on that in a little bit. What an incredible thing to think that Jesus is out of his mind. And the text says they try to seize Him. They try to take charge of Him, other translations say. Which means they physically try to grab Him and control Him and put Him in a room somewhere. They want to control Him and be master over Him and seize Him. He won't allow it. The ministry goes on. I'm going to keep teaching and preaching everywhere, and one day I'll go to the cross and die and rise. You will not control me, he's saying to his family. And the scribes try it too. The scribes spread this lie that he's possessed by the devil, thinking this will stop Jesus. The crowds will hear this. They'll agree with us. And they will no longer follow him. We got the problem taken care of. We're controlled. Jesus will spread lies about him. It doesn't work. They spread this lie about him. And that very day, there's a huge crowd in the house, crammed in the house, sitting at Jesus' feet, wanting to hear his word. The word of God will not be stopped. The gospel won't be stopped. Jesus won't be stopped. You can't control Jesus. There are three things in particular you cannot control about him that I want to talk about today. These are three things that he does now, and he will always do them, and we can't stop them. First of all, Jesus will always be very, very hard on self-righteousness, on hypocrisy, on evil pride. When you read the Gospels, one thing that Jesus hates and despises and rebukes at every opportunity, he never lets it slide, is self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Legalism. Thinking you can earn your way to God by yourself. And this is underlying the text. One reason why his family and the scribe think he's out of his mind is because Jesus, humble Jesus, the carpenter's son, Jesus has gotten right in the face of the leaders and told them they're hypocrites. This is only Mark chapter 3. Already Christ is in conflict with the religious leaders. He's at conflict right away in Mark's gospel. Because they are hypocrites, they're legalists, they're self-righteous, and he will have none of it. He's going to rebuke them at every opportunity to try to save them. To try to break their pride that they be saved. He loves them. And if you read in the first two chapters of Mark, there are a few issues that have arisen. Number one, the religious leaders have complained that Jesus doesn't fast. His disciples don't fast. They had a law. You had to fast at least 2-3 times a week. It was a law. You're brownie points with God. Come on. Why don't you fast? And Christ says, the bridegroom is here. Meaning, he's God. When the bridegroom's here and you wed the bride, you don't fast. Who has a wedding reception of fasting? You feast. You're legalists. Don't have to fast to be saved. But more than that, Christ also has broken the Sabbath in their eyes. Actually, on the Sabbath, he healed a man. Oh my. He healed the guy on the Sabbath, and they complained, "You're a Sabbath breaker. You broke the law." And also his disciples plucked corn on the Sabbath to eat a little bit of corn. Oh my, to pluck a little corn and eat it on the Sabbath. You've broken God's laws. Christ will have none of it. They're legalists trying to earn their way. Look at how good we are. We obey the laws. He'll break every law, man-made law, to show you can't be saved by the law. Only he can save you. So he is ever in their faces calling them hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, children of the devil, to rebuke them. And it will ever continue, friends. He'll never take it easy on sin. He'll never compromise sin or beat around the bush when it comes to sin. He will ever call sin, sin. He'll ever call self-righteousness, self-righteousness, and he'll condemn it right in your face. And so we begin church with the invocation in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. We're with God. God's here. And then what do? In our liturgy, Divine Service 4, if you, O Lord, kept a record of them, who could stand? Right away, a board upside the head. I'm a sinner. I should count my sins. If I counted my sins, I could never stand. We don't share nice little ditties about how what a wonderful day it is and how nice we all look in our clothes. We recognize our sin. In the other liturgy, we say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's a board upside the head for self-righteous, egotistical people that think we're so good. That's from Jesus rebuking sin. He'll always be that way. This past week, I had one of the most difficult home projects I've ever worked on. And where's Keith at today? Keith, you're right here front and center. I had to, you know, it's a long story. We won't get into all that, but we had to replace some hardwood flooring. You'll never guess who messed it up, but that's another story. Had to replace some hardwood flooring, and it was glued down. Who's ever replaced glued down hardwood flooring? Not an easy task. And Keith helped work. And Keith got about two-thirds of the room done one day. And he said, "Pastor, it's a pretty tough job here." And I said, "Yeah, right, Keith. Come on. Let a big guy handle this job. Come on." And so Keith left for the evening. And I said, "I'll work on it at night and get it all cleaned up." Well, it took me about a half hour to get up one plank of wood. Okay? And just trying to root that stuff out. But then I thought to myself, I'm determined I'm not going to let Keith Ditton defeat me. All right, he's not going to get glory today. I got to get the stuff knocked up. And so I groaned and groaned and yelled and screamed. And Ann, help me. Come on, you do a board, please. And said a few words I should have never said. But I eventually got that wood up, didn't I, Keith? He got two-thirds of it without a sweat. I sweat for 4 or 5 hours and all night long and still ache trying to get that wood up. Got to get it up. It's glued down. Determination. We all have something glued hard right here to the heart. It is glued tight to us. It's part of us. It's called pride. It's called our enormous ego, our enormous self-right. It is just glued in there that Christ will not give up. He doesn't say, "Well, it's just too hard for me to get rid of that pride. I'll just let you go to hell. Let you be hard." No, he ever works hard to blast it and crush it. By the law, by trials, tribulations, troubles that we have, he's trying to break that pride that we be humble. He will ever, ever be hard against sin, self-righteousness. He'll never. You can't stop that about him. You can't change him. Secondly, he will always be very, very helpful to sinners. This is even much more important. Hard on the proud and self. You're a legalist. You're self-righteous. He's in your face. Be humble. Never think you're better than somebody else. But when you're repentant and you're humble, he is ever there to forgive you and love you, to wash you and cleanse you and to befriend you. And this is another reason why his family thinks he's out of his mind. And the scribes. Because of the people he's hanging around. He is hanging around fishermen. He's hanging around tax collectors. Earlier in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, he had a big feast at Matthew's house. This probably really embarrassed his family. It shocked the religious leaders. Jesus is having a feast with Matthew at tax collector and all the other tax collectors there. What's he doing? He's the friend of sinners. He's hanging around prostitutes. All the outcasts and the lowly, he forgives. He has mercy on them. And so they think he's out of his mind. We got to stop him from embarrassing us and hanging around all these bad people. Let's pull him aside, get him with the good people again. You want to know Christ is out of his mind? He is out of his mind, in a way. humanly speaking. He's out of his mind in love with people. He's out of his mind to save people. He'll do anything and everything to save people. And him being, quote, out of his mind here in Mark 3 is only a prelude to when he is really out of his mind later on in Mark 13, 14, 15, 16. For he's really out of his mind when he actually hangs on a cross for 6 hours, has nails in his hands and feet, blood coming from his head from a crown of thorns, a spear in his side. Then he's really out of his mind in love with people to save and forgive people. Never forget it. You want to see a crazy God? An out of his mind God? Look at the cross. A God that loves me that much to die for me. What a God I have. He's out of his mind in love with me. It's all a foreshadowing of his great, great love for sinners. And no one's going to stop him from loving people. You may not have mercy on people. He does. Get used to the idea. He expects you to have mercy on them too. You may not love certain people. He does. He expects you to love him too. Get used to the idea. You're never going to change him. He loves the whole world. When I began to date Ann, I might have told you a while back, you know, I knew she was my gal, you know, a minute in when I first met her. Wonderful Lutheran gal, pretty as can be, still is. And of course, you can't tell a girl your first date path that you love her, can you? Look, first date's too quick. So it was about the second date for me. No. But so I would say things to Ann when I was dating her. I'm really crazy about you. You know, I'm just crazy about you. And she would say, yeah, you're kind of crazy. You are kind of a crazy dude. But I would say, I'm crazy about you. And she'd say, yeah, I'm kind of crazy about you. And then there came that time, I love you. And then the ring. And then the marriage. And then 26 years later. Start off, I'm nuts about you, crazy about you. That's Mark chapter 3. Christ is crazy about people. He wants to save them. He's out of his mind for us. But then at the cross, he says, I love you. I want to be with you forever. Do you get it? I want you to be my wife forever, my bride. Thirdly, you're never going to stop him from being humble. His humble, lowly style, I think, is very troubling for his family and the scribes. He's born in a manger. He grew up in Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was a carpenter's son. He had no education, no credentials. Just who does he think he is? He's so humble. And yet he's claiming to be the Messiah. Who does this guy think he is? Well, he is the Messiah. But his humility was a stumbling block, his lowliness. But you're never, ever going to stop him from being humble and lowly. It's just the way he is until he comes again in glory. Then we will behold his glory. But now, even now, he comes in a humble way. He doesn't come into church in a flashy way. We have the Word of God that we hear preached. It's nothing flashy. We had wonderful Jim's baptism. This wasn't flashy. This is pretty simple. Yet here, he washed Jim, saved Jim, drowned the devil here. All of hell was drowned. Holy Communion that we receive, it's not flashy. It's bread and wine. The humble dressing and clothing of Jesus. Word, water, bread and wine. You're never going to stop him from coming that way. He's not going to change his way of doing things. It's his word preached, water of baptism, absolution, bread and wine. It's his humble means that still stumbles, still causes people to stumble over him. I read in the paper on Monday, there was an article about a Pentecostal church in La Follette, interestingly. And guess what they brought back to this church? Snake handling. Anybody read the article? Pretty big article. They're handling snakes again. I didn't know it ever left, but I guess maybe it did. But they had a couple young pastors that are handling snakes. And I asked, you know, why are they doing this? I hope they believe. But they're obviously just off on how to do things. Well, they want to handle snakes. Well, no doubt to show their faith. But also, I think they want to see a demonstration of God's power. God, if you're really there, I want contact with you. I want to see your power. Come on, do something, God, flashy and spectacular. I need to see it to believe. So protect me from the snake. Maybe that's part of it. Just something exciting in church. God nowhere promises to do such things except when he wants to. We don't handle snakes here. Christ has already crushed the snake's head. The snake is dead. The devil is defeated. We just read about that in Genesis 3. We're victorious people. So we have the Word of God. Something incredibly powerful happened here for Jim, didn't it? God saved him and redeemed him here. Something incredibly powerful here is we eat of the bread of life. This is the fountain of youth. We're going to live forever. It's powerful stuff. It doesn't look that way. This is the power of God. But only if you believe. If you don't believe, it's boring and kind of silly. If you believe, this is the power of God for salvation. One thing you're never going to do with Jesus is master him. You're not going to control him. He is hard on self-righteousness, and he always will be. He is helpful and saving to sinners. He always will be. He is humble in how he comes. He always will be until the last day. We can't take charge of Jesus, but we ever pray he take charge of us. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.